flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
He's been the voice of Chiefs Kingdom since 1994.
Damian Williams, 20, stays in bounds, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Kansas City, Damian Williams runs to immortality!
Here's Mitch Holthus on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5, The Fan.
Stay focused, Dusty. Stay focused, Dusty.
That's right. It's Friday. It's 7:25. That means Mitch Holthus drowns your ears with love and pumped-up vibes. It is brought to you by Silverstein Eye Centers. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Centers. Brought to you also by GEHA. GEHA is the proud partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch, I dare you to tell me to stay focused with this game coming up on Sunday at 5:30.
Dude, if you can't get focused for this game, hand in your card. By the way, the song you guys were playing, what is it, like Mr. Doubtfire, or what is it?
That's right. Yep, Mr. Doubtfire. Yep.
That's what I thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob knows this, Dusty. You play that at Pooch's and Smith Center, they start throwing beer at the chicken wire.
We've been there and seen that. They don't like that song there.
Nah, get rid of that Bill song. I don't care if Dawson Knox got married to it or Dawson's Creek or whomever. So, no, it's, wow, electricity for this game. I think Bob and I are in agreement. I think it's the biggest game in our city's history.
Yeah, I said that earlier in the week. I said, I think this is the biggest one of all time. This will be the biggest game we ever see at Arrowhead Stadium. Of course, Spectre poo-pooed that, as he does with everything, and didn't want to let Mac run that great intro this morning that you voiced, so thank you for that. But I do. I think this is the biggest game because we're playing for something that's never been attained before by anybody in the history of this league.
Yeah, that's where I think it's the set-apart piece of this game. 2019 was awesome. We finally win the Lamar Hunt Trophy. We win it here. The other champion teams won them on the road. When Super Bowl IV champion, they had to win the AFL championship on the road. Same with 66. Went to Super Bowl I. They had to win it in Buffalo. And so to get the home win in 19 was historic, but that was our history. And then to win it in 20 was COVID. That was clunky, 17,000 people. These guys, the Bills, that was kind of weird. It was awesome in 22 to beat the Bengals, but this one is not just our history. You alluded to it. It's National Football League history. No team has won back-to-back, and then in the third year won this game. Three have been close, 76 Steelers, 90 49ers, 94 Cowboys. That's been quoted a lot this week. I talked about it a couple months ago. But you win this game, you make National Football League history irregardless of what happens in New Orleans, just by winning this game. So I think that, yeah, to me, it sets it apart and a little bit above all the others.
Yeah, it does. And you start to look back at some of those others that had the opportunity for the three-peat. The Giants beat Joe Montana in San Francisco in a defensive effort. You know, the Dallas Cowboys were never able to crawl over that line. What's different about this Chiefs team than those other teams, in your opinion, that were going for those three-peats?
I think this team is more comprehensive. And that the fact that it's really hard to find a weakness in this Chiefs team, especially with the special teams doing what they've done this year, and then the defense just kind of adding pieces. Now, it's not flawless. There have been some challenges here. The third down defense in the playoffs, and talked to Spags about it yesterday, and the third and long, the second and long, you've got to command those on Sunday, or you won't win this game. But still, overall, the difference between this team is they'll hit you. This Chiefs team will hit you in every way possible. They're not just a slugger in boxing. They can also move and hit and dive and shift. So this is a heck of a team. We've seen what they've done, and they got the propensity to win the biggest games in the most dramatic ways. That is the sign of a great team.
A lot of times, Mitch, as we are joined by Mitch Holtis, the voice of the Chiefs here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, a lot of times in these sort of situations, they always tell you it's not always the best team, but the healthiest team. Buffalo's got a little bit of an injury blip up on their radar. Kind of got to get into their waters and kind of change the narrative there for Buffalo.
Well, defensively, I mean, I don't think they're going to have Rapp. He looked to be seriously injured. He hadn't practiced all week. And then who popped up yesterday? Taron Johnson. He got hurt late in that game. Milano got hurt late in their game against the Ravens. And so, yeah, we'll see what happens. But let me have some fun here. The narrative of the Buffalo Bills, and they're good. They're really good. That's a really good team. And I think Josh Allen's a really good quarterback. But what is the narrative of the Bills, you guys think? What's the national narrative? The Bills are what?
The bridesmaid.
Okay. Well, where do you think Josh Allen ranks? Because he's the prohibitive favorite to be the MVP, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dusty, I'll ask you. Where's his completion percentage rank 1 through 32 in the league?
I'm going to say 15th.
I'm going to go 7th.
24.
Mm. Wow.
His attempts are 14. His completions are 16. Why has Josh Allen been so good? He's been so efficient. Why else? The fact that, and this is Matt McMullen, was digging this one out the other day. He's so good. And I know you guys have him on air too. And he's just awesome to work with. 29 possessions for the Bills this year have started on the opponent half of the 50.
Mm.
They've had 29 drives, by far more than anybody else, start on the plus side of the field. Why? 32 takeaways. They are plus 27 when you count the playoffs. Now, here's where Josh Allen comes into play. He had 65 giveaways from 2020 to 2023. He was Phillip Rivers. Numbers, good team, but just giveaways like crazy. This year, only 8. In fact, the Bills set an NFL record with just 8 giveaways the entire season. But that's not the narrative we have. We have the Bills running up and down the field and scoring touchdowns like crazy. Well, their touchdowns like crazy are short field, short yardage plays that are set up by turnovers. If you're even with them, and the Chiefs have not turned it over since their game on November the 17th against Buffalo, mm-hmm. Mahomes is on a record pace with not giving up turnovers. If you stay zero with these guys, you can beat them by double digits. You can beat them by 10. They live off the takeaway and the critical takeaway, the explosive takeaway. That has been the story of the Buffalo season. The Baltimore game was a microcosm of the Buffalo season.
So I guess I'm not wrong when I say the team that has one turnover is the team that's probably going to lose this game, right?
Or end up being minus one, and these teams don't turn it over a lot.
Right.
So, yeah, probably. But if you're minus one, if there's Buffalo's got one and we got two, it's going to be hard to win this game.
Mm-hmm.
Or vice versa. It's just the way these teams are. But the narrative, you guys, of the Chiefs has been, oh, Mahomes just isn't, you know, hasn't had that good a year, and he's dinking and dunking. He's not throwing wasps to Tyreek Hill, so something's wrong. That's exactly, if that's the narrative of the Chiefs, that's precisely what the Bills are doing. Now, I'll give them credit. Remember, this was supposed to be a cap cleanup year. And here's one of your of the 11 wide receivers that will play on Sunday combined between these two teams. Only two played last year in that AFC divisional game in Buffalo. Justin Watson for the Chiefs and Khalil Shakir for the Bills. Other than that, their wide receiver rooms have completely changed.
Wow.
But that's meant play different. And so the Chiefs and Bills are more similar than the national pundits want to make it to be.
Yeah, because everybody's rooting for Buffalo to win this football game, obviously. Do you think we get the wide receivers involved more this week? I know when you get to the playoffs, you want to shrink things down and use the guys that got you there and whatnot. But, man, like other than Xavier Worthy, it was like the other wide receivers weren't eligible to play on Saturday.
Here's the brilliance of Andy Reid. And if you go back and look at that Houston game, they played that game between the numbers. If you've gone to an 8-man game, it's not a 100-yard field, 53-yard width. It's an 80-yard field and a 40-yard width. The Chiefs basically played that game offensively between the numbers last week. Why? They went to their strengths against the lack of superiority in the middle of that Houston defense. I think Lassiter is a growing star at cornerback, and we know what Stingley Jr. can do. Now, you don't give him the day off, as Len Dawson would say, but you focus your attack on the middle of the field, and who's going to do it? That's where the Chiefs win in that game. Now, to answer your question, Bob, I think the entire 53-yard width of the field
yeah.
and the entire length of the field's in play this week against these guys.
Okay.
You got to protect. Rousseau's coming into sack and strip. If you protect a click, you can attack these guys on the back end, especially if they're missing Rapp and possibly missing Taron Johnson.
Yep. The Chiefs not missing anybody, obviously Mecole Hardman, but let's move on to what the question is for you, Mitch, here. Who is the Chiefs somewhat? Who will be their secret weapon in this matchup against Buffalo this week on Sunday afternoon?
Charles Omenihu.
Nice.
Charles Omenihu has waited for this game. We had him on our Defending the Kingdom podcast, but I've had chats with him over the past months during his rehab. You know, you'll see him every now and then and have a brief chat with him. He has zeroed in on this day, you guys, because he'll tell you it's 363 days. He tore his knee up last year against Baltimore in the AFC Championship game. He did not get to play in Super Bowl 58. That dude, as much as anybody on this team, wants to play in Super Bowl 59 and win it and be a part of it. And his length is a factor in this game because even the greatest of quarterbacks can get affected by length, even on a deflected pass or the long arm of the law stripping the ball loose where you don't even have the dude in your vision. And that is Charles Omenihu. And especially teaming up with Chris Jones, you get size and you get wingspan. And going back to Bob's point of one turnover, that turnover could be forced by Charles Omenihu, who has four forced fumbles in his playoff career. But that dude is wired in and wants this game like no other.
Yeah, and I think obviously his return, Mitch, has made George Karlaftis become a household name all of a sudden in the postseason. He's now four sacks away from setting the all-time record in Kansas City for sacks. And since Charles Omenihu's come back, that defensive line, no secret, has gotten that much better.
And the reason is it's the genius of Spags. And Omenihu has the acumen to play inside and outside. He's just not an outside speed rusher like Von Miller, who's actually playing good ball.
Mm-hmm.
Von Miller's had more pressures for Buffalo and in the league than anybody in the league since week 13. So there's a renaissance there. But you're not going to see Von play inside. And Omenihu and Chris can do both. And because of that, two guys are occupying three and a half guys. So that means Karlaftis can many times roam free or use his motor to play twists, and he'll play inside. It's the sneaky part of Felix Anudike Uzama's game. He can kind of do the same thing. And he and George can work together, either outside, inside, or on twists. But because the other team has got to give so much attention to an Omenihu-Chris Jones combo that you can't block them all with two guys. And so that group, especially playing eight guys, being fresh at this time of year, is a big, big asset for the Chiefs.
Mitch, this is a serious question for you. Our producer and co-host, we call him Mac Morey, Mr. Tennessee, he said if the Chiefs win a three-peat, if and when they win the three-peat, he will get his first ever tattoo on his right thigh. What do you think that tattoo should be?
You can doubt a lot of ink. You can doubt the Chiefs. You can dislike the Chiefs. You can disrespect the Chiefs. You're going to have to deal with the Chiefs being a three-peat. It will start at his upper thigh, go below his kneecap, and look horrible at the pool when he goes with his grandkids when he's like 62.
100%, Mitch. Yeah, you got to talk him off of that one. I just want to ask you this as we get kind of ready to put a bow on our final segment before we go to New Orleans with you. A lot of ink. Why wasn't Spags named one of the five finalists for Assistant Coach of the Year?
It's driving me crazy. You know, the hatred I get. But at some point, even through the hatred, this isn't the Patriots.
Right.
Andy Reid's not Belichick, and Pat's not Brady, and Kelsey's maybe Gronk. I don't know. He's not Gronk. He's got – but anyway, I get the hatred because they're winning. But I don't get the hatred because, wait a minute, let's appreciate what they're doing and how they're doing it because we might want to do it that way. But the disrespect that comes from the so-called – weariness of the Chiefs winning, that's where it gets wrong. And there's too many people that cover this league, whether it's Chaz in the basement with his Yeti mic, or it's people that have covered this league for a long time that somehow get blinded by, well, they win all the time, so I can't give him this award. And that it has to be measured against everybody else to give the true award. And there's, we can say what we want, but there's wariness in the media about the Chiefs winning.
No doubt.
And so, and to me, I don't get it. It gets a little infuriating, and then I move on going, well, wait a minute, let's just keep winning. Mm.
The only thing that we got a finalist for was Coach of the Year with Andy Reid, and that's rare. He's never been considered Coach of the Year. But after this year, he's hands down the Coach of the Year.
They ought to name the award after him. It ought to be like the Lamar Hunt Trophy. It ought to be the Andy Reid NFL Coach of the Year. And maybe we get that done someday. Guys, he's had 26 years as a head coach. He's coached in this game 12 times. Half of his career, he's coached in the conference championship game. That's stupid. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And the 27 playoff wins, that's he's burrowing down. I mean, he is all over Belichick in that stat. And to do it with different teams and different quarterbacks and this and that and change teams completely and dramatically, man, he's challenging to be the greatest of all time. If not, it'll be Belichick 1 and Reid 2. He's our coach. He's here. We've had him 12 years, and I don't want to take 1 second of it for granted. The guy is phenomenal. He's just phenomenal as a leader, a human, and as the master of his craft.
Well, Mitch, you said it drives me crazy. I hope this defensive line is like a bunch of fine young cannibals on that offensive line for the Buffalo Bills and give them pressure to Josh Allen. And I know you know what I did there, so I'm going to try my best to stay focused and listen to that call on Sunday. Man, another AFC championship game for you. Go out there and be the most hated play-by-play guy in the game. You know what I mean?
You know, it's interesting because I was on NFL Network a lot or national shows. That hasn't happened much. And I think it's just like, oh, don't put another Chiefs guy on there.
Right.
Like, oh, look, it's a State Farm commercial. Oh, God, you know, it's a Hy-Vee commercial. It's like, oh, what are we doing? So it's all good. And that's okay. I just had this image of you at a dance with your tux, like, half worn off, and you're just jumping and flopping around with your bros to Mr. Doubtfire.
That's right.
And you know he's been there. Mitch, appreciate it. And I just want to say you can move a 47, almost 48-year-old man to tears. 12 years of Andy Reid, 7 AFC championship games. Let that sink in for a second.
What are we doing, boys? What are we doing? Thank you, Lord, for this man coming to town. And we are living history. Let's just keep it rolling.
Absolutely. And thank you, Lord, for you, Mitch Holtis. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll listen to you on Sunday at 5:30.
Thank you, boys. They're putting up the chicken wire at Pooch's right now.
Let's go.